Well, last week, Pastor said, hey, do you have something for Easter? I said, hey, no, you're up. Go ahead. And then Wednesday night, and it's funny, a lot of times the Lord will speak to me as Pastor's preaching. He'll say something, and it will just be like, grab on to my spirit man. And he mentioned and talked about the Wizard of Oz and said how everybody was afraid of the wizard until the curtain was pulled back. Until he was exposed, everybody was afraid of the wizard. Everybody thought he was this big guy, but all he was doing was just pulling levers and making smoke and making a lot of noise. And so the Lord just spoke to me that the enemy on Calvary was exposed. Why do we still treat him like the all-powerful wizard that he's not? Why do we allow him to torment our minds and attack our finances and come against our homes and think, oh, it's just the devil again? No, he's been exposed. He's a wee little man pulling a bunch of levers and making a bunch of noise because he knows he's been exposed. And we as the church have to understand that. And so as I was thinking about it and sitting there Wednesday night and listening, the Lord just had me go into the word exposed a little bit. But before we get there, I want to set some groundwork. So you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. We're just going to read and set the stage here. We're just going to remind the devil he's been exposed. And as we do this, and as you hear the scripture verses, and as you hear the different definitions, it's going to stir you up to not allow the enemy to torment you, to buffet you, to come against your finances, against your children, against your physical body, against your family members, whatever it may be, against the ministry that God may have given you in your marketplaces, on your jobs. You're going to realize and you're going to get a good vivid picture of, oh, you're just a wee little man pulling levers and pushing buttons. You have no power and authority over me. And as we hear this, that's what the Lord showed me. It's going to start to go through this place in waves, and it's going to start to hit you. You're going to start to see in your own spiritual mind the curtain being pulled back. It's already been done. We just sang it. The veil's been torn. We did not have access into the Holy of Holies until that happened. Amen. The great men and women of God in the Old Testament did not have access into the Holy of Holies. We have access into that Holy of Holies. The devil's been exposed. He's been told that he has no power. He's been ridden of all his power. And we have to understand that the curtain's been opened. Amen. Look behind the curtain. Amen. So let's look at what these verses say in Colossians 2, 11 through 15. It says, in him you were also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead to your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting, and I want you to make note, handwriting here means certificate of death. So having wiped out the certificate of death of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And so I want to look at this verse here. God exposed the enemy in all his power on the cross. Amen. And it was a once and for all triumph. Amen. But what we have to understand is when he wiped that out, let's look at this first, the handwriting here, what this means, the certificate of death, the context of this, I'm getting ahead of myself, means a monetary obligation that was acknowledged by a debtor. So we had a debt that before Christ went to the cross, we had a debt. And he paid that debt. So it meant that a signed confession of indebtedness or bond or self-confessed indictment was against you. That's what was there. But this has been wiped out by the power of the cross and the blood of Christ. That's what it says. Having wiped out the certificate that once followed you around. So the past is the past. Stop dealing with things of the past. They've been wiped out. You were indebted to the enemy, but now he has no power over you. He has no power over your mind. When your mind starts to cycle and starts to get yourself in trouble, don't say it out of your mouth. He cannot read your mind, but he can hear your words. You must be careful. When that starts happening, it's been wiped out. It's been paid. I don't owe that. Tell your mind to quiet down and just settle down. That's what we do when we worship God, when we spend time with Him. Put on worship music. We have a great collection of the From Above's. How many of you have been listening to them? I listen to them all the time. Not because I'm on them, but if you're not listening to them, you're missing it. If you want to settle the atmosphere down, put some From Above on. Those are services where God has blown through this place, and as soon as you put it on, you'll feel the presence of God just fill your room, in your car, in your home. Your kids are running around wild, From Above. Set the atmosphere, set the tone. We do it in the natural with our children. We didn't let them run around and go crazy. We're just finishing training a puppy. We didn't let her run around and act all crazy. Now she wants to get in the sun, and the sunspot in our house is on top of the end table in the family room. So now she sits next to the lamp on the end table that barely fits her because that's where the sun is. I was outside the other day cleaning. Come on outside. She was sitting in the window on the sunspot staring at me inside. Now, if I let her do that when she becomes 60 or 70 or 80 pounds and knocks the lamp off every time, that would be wrong. What do? We shoo her off. You're not sitting there. Now we move the chair, turn the ottoman, put the blanket on. But we correct her. We don't let her run wild. We set the tone in the house. I'm the pack leader. You're not. The enemy is not the pack leader. You are the leader. Don't let him pull you around and lie to you and deceive you. He's been exposed. The curtain has been pulled aside. So this debt is paid in Jesus' name. Now let's look at verse 15 because this is very important. You have to understand this concept. And you have to understand what's going on here. And you might say, well, I feel attacked. I feel things going on. Yes, you do, and you should. We live in the darkness of this world. And this verse right here tells us, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them once and for all. This conquest of a hostile spirit of force is described in terms of a homecoming victory for a Roman general. That's what Paul meant here. When he made a show, it was like the idea that this big parade, that this general came home and won this battle, that the cross events divested the principalities of their uncontested rule and authority over the redeemed people. So their authority's been taken away, but you have to understand they're still around. See, the attacks don't go away. We live in a world of sin. And I say it all the time, you can take it up with Adam and Eve when you get to heaven. It's mostly their fault. They allowed sin in the garden. So there is principalities. The Bible talks about it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rule of this world. But they've been disarmed of their power. We give them all the authority they need by how we talk, by how we act, by the decisions we make, by where we're going, by what we're doing, by what we're watching, by what we're doing with our spare time, by where our finances are, by how we serve. We give the enemy all the ammunition he needs, but he has been had all of his authority annihilated at the cross. He's got nothing. He's the greatest duper there is. He's duping some of us day in and day out. Don't allow him to do it. Just take the visual. How many have seen The Wizard of Oz? Maybe the younger generation has it. We all know the scene. Get it in your head. Oh, devil, it's just you, little man. It's just you back there doing this. And he caused the whole kingdom to be afraid. He causes the whole world to be up in arms. He's after the church. Understand that this conquest, Jesus made a show of them openly. The devils, the demons, Satan himself, his authority's been stripped. Well, why is there evil going on? Because people do stupid things. Because people are evil by nature. And they're giving themselves over to these lusts and these desires and hatred and anger. They're giving themselves over to that. And then the enemy has a field day and runs with it. That's easy. But we as a church, we should not be allowing that to happen. We should see it coming, and when you feel yourself getting stirred up or you're getting anxious or getting worried or getting angry or not following the word, think of the curtain. Oh, it's just you, little wee man. You have no power over me. You've been exposed already. You've been made a show openly. And the funny thing is the devil didn't even get this when he crucified Christ, or he thought he did. It had to happen. If the devil really knew what was going to happen by crucifying Christ, he would have said, he went out there himself, took the nails out and said, run along, be a man, Because you can't hurt me while you're a man, but when you die and you give your life for all those that have sinned and all those who sin in the future and in the present, he was in trouble and they didn't get it. They didn't get it. That should show you how silly and stupid the devil is.
That's right.
If he had known what was coming, he never would have allowed Christ to be crucified. He didn't care. He didn't care. And so he was made a show of them openly. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians and look at this quickly before we start talking about the word exposed. I just feel the anointing of God in this place, and we're excited to be in the house of God. Souls will be saved today, transformed by those watching and in this room. Come to a new identity in Christ this morning. 1 Corinthians 2, 8, and 9 says, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There it is. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So right here, this passage asserts that Satan, the god of this age, and the demons, all the principalities and powers, were completely confounded by the cross. They were so confused, they didn't know what was going on. Amen. Oh, we got him. He's dead. Thank God. Then all of a sudden, they heard the rustling of the chains. What's he doing down here? Why is he in hell? I thought we took his authority. No, you just made him stronger. Amen. You just gave him all the authority to come through hell and rip the keys of death, hell, and the grave and turn it upside down. And so this profound disclosure of Satan's limited liability to anticipate the tactics of the Almighty God is a reminder that God's sovereign power will always be insurance to the believer. So God's power, the enemy doesn't even know what to do with it. It comes back to us. It comes back to how are we living? How are we conducting our lives? Are we filling our lives with the word, or are we listening to lies of the enemy? Are we setting the tone and the atmosphere in our homes with worship and with living for Christ? Do we have those signs on them that say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, but if somebody walked in, they wouldn't know who you served. Just having that plaque on the wall doesn't mean anything. I love the new commercial. I think it's a progressive where the guy's teaching the parents, you know, don't be your parents. And they have those silly signs, live, laugh, love, and the guy smacks the sign down. Why do you have to be reminded to live, laugh, and love? Why do you need that on your wall? And if you have it on your wall, I'm not making fun of you, but take it down and get something else. And we have it on our wall. Oh, see, I don't pay attention to our decorations. Where do we have that? Oh, in the hallway. See that? So I just made, see that? I made fun of myself. So I'll be taking that down when I get home. As you can see, I'll tell you right, I don't dress myself or decorate the house, so that's just how it goes. But we don't need to remind ourselves, we need to live it. You know, have a plaque that says, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord, and live it that way. Amen? Sorry, it's okay to laugh. Laughter is good like medicine, amen? So the example is Jesus trying to, the enemy trying to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. He should have known it wasn't going to work. And we'll talk about this in a minute. But he still went after him. He should have known ahead of time, but he's stupid. He's a wee little man behind a curtain. And that curtain's not closed anymore. Don't allow it to be closed. Amen? So let's look at what the word expose means. Expose means to make something visible by uncovering it. And now we're going to do some Bible thumping to go along with this. So get your fingers ready and get your Bible ready. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So expose means to make something visible. So what did Jesus do? He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so although physical death is still experienced, we are all going to die someday. We know that. It's where our spirit man goes. But you have to know that Christ abolished hell and the grave. We don't have to go there. Amen. It's our choice. And we're going to have that opportunity this morning to make that choice to accept Christ. Amen. But he gave us eternal life. So expose means to make something visible by uncovering. It also means cause someone to be vulnerable or at risk. Introduce someone to a new subject or area of knowledge. I love this. So what did Christ do? He exposed the devil. He caused him to be vulnerable. He caused them to be at risk, and he introduced them to something new, a new area of knowledge. Hey, devil, guess what? I have eternal life, and I've given it to all the saints. And now you're vulnerable, and you're at risk. You can't have any of them unless they choose to go with you. And that's the choice. Choose this day who you'll serve. Choose life. choose death. That's your choice. Turn to 1 Corinthians. And so the devil has been exposed. He's vulnerable. And now he's been introduced to this new plan. And I believe the devil right now is working overtime, because he knows his time is getting shorter and shorter by the day, by the minute, by the hour. So 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this. I want to do a little background on this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. For the corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up by victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he gave his life. So these actions of the cross made the enemy vulnerable and at risk. He has forcibly introduced him a new subject matter, eternal life. So what did Jesus do? He crammed eternal life right down the devil's throat. He shook the keys and said, no more. You cannot have my people anymore. Again, it's a choice. God did not create robots. He did not create Adam and Eve to be robots. He gave them free will. We might say, why did he do that? Does everybody like their free will today? Does everybody like the clothes they're wearing? Does everybody like where they're going to eat? Does everybody like the car they drive? That's free will. I say it all the time. I don't want my kids to love me because they carry my last name. I want my kids to love me because of what I've done for them, how I provide for them, how they teach them, how I protect them. That's what Christ does for us. So that free will is, yes, I want to worship you. Yes, I want to serve you. Yes, I want to seek you first. But that's your choice. Amen. You know, church, preaching, all we are is a glorified waiter in the spirit saying, here's your food. You choose to eat it if you want. You can receive this word and have your life changed for all of eternity. Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't like the service. That's your choice. You're accountable for what you know. If you don't want to hear it, do this. But you're going to hear it from this pulpit. You're going to hear about the cross. You're going to hear about the blood. You're going to hear about how sin needs to be changed. And you need to repent and turn from your evil ways, not become a Christian and continue to do the same things you did before you were saved. That's not Christ-like. Christ-like is a change of what you're doing, a repentance. Amen? So let's expose the enemy and all his principalities and powers once and for all today. Realize that he has no authority over us anymore. It's up to us to stop allowing him to roam around in the dark corners of our lives in areas that we may be struggling because he's already been exposed. You know, again, temptation is not a sin. It's what we do with it. Jesus cannot tempt us, James says. But it's our evil desires and our thoughts and what we want and what we don't want to give up and what we like to do that causes problems in our lives. And it's up to us to push it aside and say, you know what? We, little man, you're not going to get me on this one again. Amen. And it's a fight. And we know we have to fight against it, but we are more than conquerors. All things are possible through Jesus Christ. And we have all the power and authority. And most importantly, the greatest thing we have is the Holy Spirit in our lives. The person of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in us. The disciples panic. Jesus, where are you going? What are we going to do? I'm leaving you someone better. My comforter. Parakletos. If you don't know what that means, you should. If you go here, look it up. It means a lot of different things about the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter. He's our friend. He's our guide. He's our aid. He's our counselor. He's our strengthener. He's our standby. Everything that we need is what the Holy Spirit is for us. Jesus couldn't walk the earth and be with everybody. He had to release the Holy Spirit. He's inside of us. He talks to us. He helps us when we need help. Amen? And we need to tap into that, church. So let's look at some synonyms of expose. We're going to have some fun with this, and I want you to get a picture. What we're doing is we're exposing the enemy this morning, and we're going to expose him with the word of God. Amen. Because what did Jesus say to him? It is written. Amen. It is written. It is written. It's not I think, I say. It's not Paulisms. It's not Pastor Paulisms. It's what's the word say? Amen. You better know what the word says, and we're going to give you some good ammunition to go against to help you with this word expose and what the enemy's done. So the first thing, he's been dug up. That's what expose means in terms of revelations. So one of the synonyms of expose or exposed is dug up. Jesus is alive and well and has dug up all the power of the grave by taking the keys of death from the enemy. He went down there, he took them out from hell. Verse 18 says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and hell. He has them. It's been exposed. They've been taken. The devil doesn't have those keys anymore. So basically what hell is right now is a come as you want. You want to enter? Come on in. The devil can't even keep you down there as long as you're alive and you have breath and you can accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. While you're breathing, he can't keep you anywhere you don't want to be. This is an open door. But when you die and when your body goes and goes to the ground and your spirit is getting judged, that's when it's too late. The rich young ruler had a chance, and then when he was in hell, God gave him a glimpse and said, oh, I want to go now. It's too late. If you're sitting in here and hearing my voice this morning, you still have a chance. But you don't know, and especially in this day and age, what's going to happen, where you go when you leave this place. God forbid, it could be a car accident. With the world we live in, you can go try to go to the mall, the movies, a restaurant. We see tragedy happening all the time. The enemy's intensifying his attack. You better make sure you're living right. Because you do not have to go to hell. The keys have been taken away. It's an open door that people are choosing to walk into. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go. I have a very, very healthy fear of hell. I always have. I want no part of it. My grandmother used to say all the time, Paulie, what does it matter in light of eternity? These fleeting moments, these things that irk us and get us upset and make us, what does it matter when it comes to eternity? Live for Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness so that your name is in that book. Amen? The second thing it means is barren. So the enemy's barren. He's been exposed. Let's go to Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews for a few minutes. How many are you getting something this morning? Amen. Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death and the devil. And so the enemy has been made barren. He's a barren wasteland because Christ has destroyed the power of the enemy at the cross. Again, think of the curtain. Oh, it's just you? You've been the one that's been duping me all this time? Don't give him any more power. He's barren. He's been stripped. He is nothing but a wasteland. Amen. When we walk with Christ, we are a part of his inheritance, his joy, his peace, his power, his might, his glory, his prosperity. The devil is barren, wasteland, lack, nothing. Why do we want to be a part of that? The simple answer is our flesh likes it. That's what our flesh likes, believe it or not. We should not be led around by our flesh. Be led by the Spirit. So you don't give in to the flesh. We're spirit beings. So why would we give in to the barren wasteland that is the enemy? He's been exposed. The next one, it means unsealed, wide open. So go to Hebrews 9:14-15. He's unsealed. He's wide open. We just read the scripture verse that he's been made a show of openly. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant. By means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So this old self has been unsealed and exposed so that we can be cleansed from our past and our old dead works, our old transgressions. He's the mediator for that. He said, okay, Father, I'll go to earth. I'll be the mediator. I'll be the bridge for man's sins. So we can cleanse ourselves from our dead works, and we get this great eternal inheritance. Again, it goes back to, what does anything in this world matter as opposed to eternity? Right. And I'm not saying you should live in a cardboard box, you should not have a car to drive, you should not have a job to take care of your family. John 10:10 says, Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. That's not in heaven, that's here. Amen. We should have a nice car and a nice home so our neighbors can want to serve the Lord. So we should be able to pay for some of these groceries or send somebody on vacation or be a blessing to somebody. And so it's okay to have nice things, but they can't control you. But how much greater is our inheritance in heaven? None of this stuff matters on earth. And it can't grab hold of us. It's been unsealed and wide open, our transgressions. We should be focusing on our eternal glory and our eternal crown. Amen? Amen. Let's look at the next one. Exposed also means disclosed. Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins or no forgiveness. So God made this great disclosure statement to the enemy when he exposed them. He said, guess what? Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. I just took death, hell, the grave, sickness, sin. I wrapped it all into one ball and took it from you all at one time. Here's your disclosure statement. How many of you have ever closed on a mortgage or refinanced? About that thick. Anybody read all those disclosures? Nope. The Father made a disclosure statement for all the world to see. You don't have to read through this document. You just have to know that death, hell, the grave, sickness, disease, sin, gone. That's a disclosure statement that was exposed when Christ gave his life on Calvary. Amen? Amen. The next one, manifested, Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So when the devil is exposed, now we had to look at God, at Jesus' manifested presence sitting at the right hand of God going, I did it. Because that's what he's doing. He sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. How mad do you think that makes the devil when we're praying and saying, God, I need help here. I need this. And Jesus, I got you. Here, I'm offering these prayers up to my Father. I'm sitting right next to him. So that manifested presence that was exposed, the devil's got to see that on a daily basis. But I believe that's why he intensifies his attack on the church. Because he knows and sees the manifested Christ, the spotless lamb sitting there knowing he's going after these people just as much as I am. But he's been exposed. Again, he has no power over you. Don't give him any. Amen. Buckle down. Tighten things up. Pay attention to who you're hanging around with, who you're listening to, how you're talking, your confession, where your children are doing, what you're watching, what you're allowing in your house. Start paying attention to it, church. It's creeping in little by little. When you're watching something, you're looking at something, you're like, oof, no, I don't think so. Turn it off. When you hear your neighbors or somebody talking on the job or saying something, say, oof, nope, not listening to that. Amen. And a lot of that talking is going around. That's what happened to this world, that fear that was just dumped on this world all at one time. We hear things. Oh, can that be true? Let me go to the internet. I guess it's true. It's on the internet. Google never lies. The only thing Google never lies about is what you've been shopping for and looking online. I can tell you that for a fact. Look up lawn chairs. Now my phone's blowing up with lawn chairs wherever, on every ad and everything I do. What if you're playing Candy Crush, you got to do all the ads for lawn chairs, whatever it is. That's one thing Google doesn't lie about is the advertising. But everything else, I would go with what the word says. Amen. The next thing that exposed means is it means shown. Hebrews 9:25 and 26. Now that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another, he then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the age, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So because Jesus showed himself on the cross as our sacrifice, there's going to come a time when he comes back for the redeemed. That's what the enemy fears the most. He's been exposed, and Jesus showed him, guess what? I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm taking my kids with me once and for all. You can't have any more. And so we have to make sure, church, that we're living right and that we're living for the kingdom of God. The next thing exposed means is on display. Let's look at 27 and 28. And it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear our sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. And so on display, Jesus was put on display on the cross to die and bear our sins. And it paints a vivid picture of God's love for his people. And so that's the display we have to get. You don't see Christ on this cross. He's not there anymore. But what you have to keep in your mind, just like the wizard when you remove the curtain, is Christ was on that as a display for the devil to see that he's been exposed. but now Christ lives in our heart. But never forget that picture. You know, we go through things in life, and I believe when we go through a trial or a temptation, we should always remember what God brought us through. And then when another attack comes, we go back to that and say, oh, I remember what God did. I remember when Nico was born, and they were checking him out, and he had something in his kidneys. This could be this and be that, and you have your infant son, and like saying there's going to be all these problems, and we immediately just went to the Word and said, I don't think so. Take another MRI. We go in there, and I'll never forget that day. I wanted to break down the door. I wanted to be like Hulk and knock, that's my child in there. He's screaming his brains out. You know, they're putting a catheter in the check. You scream it, and then the doctor comes out and says, everything's fine. I don't know what was on that MRI. There's nothing there. Praise God. But you know what? When our children go through that, we remember, oh, wait a minute. Christ already paid that price. We're already the healed of the Lord. We're already redeemed. He already did that once. We're going to remember. That's what Jesus did. Remember the display that he made. He gave his life for me. Wait, I don't have to struggle with that. I don't have to give into that anymore. He hung on the cross for me. He was beaten for me. He was bruised for me. He had his skin ripped off his back where his bones and his intestines were showing. It's okay to remember that, what Christ did for us. The Bible says to forget not all the benefits. Don't forget what Christ has brought you through. It keeps you in line. And so we're grateful for that. Pastor talks about it all the time where we had like $5 left in the checking account. What are we going to do? 10 minutes later, the doorbell rings and a family that was only here for a little time. I believe they were in this church to be like a paymaster. They were traveling through and they were only here for a little time because of the job. They said, the Lord told us this morning to give you a $5,000 check. Hallelujah. And we said, praise God. And then that $5,000 bloomed into a distribution center, bloomed into paying off the building, bloomed into all these things. But we don't forget that we had to trust the Lord. Hey, people in that got paid. Pastor, a lot of times early on, didn't take a paycheck. He didn't go around telling people that. But God has blessed him mightily. But you go back and you remember. He talks about having no food in the house. And you know the wood story. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, God. Who's stacking all that wood that they're dumping in the backyard when I was 12 years old? Get the toboggan. We're going to pull it through the snow and stack it. That was the only blessing I wasn't that happy about. I said, you know what? I'll wear extra pajamas. You don't have to put wood in the fireplace. But you remember those times. Pastor has been through that. Now they're exceedingly blessed, and now they're helping other people be a blessing to other people. But it's okay to remember the display of Christ on the cross. He's not there anymore. And believe me, the devil remembers that day. Amen? The next thing this word means is undefended. I love this one. He's exposed the enemy. He's completely undefended now. Hebrews 10:10. By the will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. So the body of Christ is an offering once and for all. The devil has no defense. It's over. He has no defense anymore. He has to rely on us, again, going to hell on our own choice. Amen. It's our own choice. It's our own fault. Thank God we have a God that the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. It doesn't say, well, if you do these three steps, then I'll save you. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That's immediate. But it's what we do with after God has saved us. We got to make sure we're walking right and uprightly because the devil has no defense anymore. He's been stripped of it all. Amen? It also means, the next one, apparent, clear, and evident. No, there's no mistaking this. Hebrews 10:12. By this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. One sacrifice. This is apparent, clear, and evident. One sacrifice is all it took for all of mankind to be healed and transformed. And I wish I could do it, I can't. But I like to do this, boom, mic drop, it's over. Right? That's what Jesus did. I gave my life, boop, I'm done, I'm out. You got nothing. It's evident, it's clear. There's no mistaking it once and for all. It's the end of a game. Did everybody see the game last night where they won on the buzzer? You can't go back. It's evident, it's clear, it's apparent. The world saw it. You can wish the clock didn't expire, or you can wish it didn't happen. It happened. Game over. Clock expired. That's what Jesus did. It's over, it's clear, it's apparent. There's nothing more to say about it. The devil's been exposed. A couple more. He's been stripped. 10:13 of Hebrews. From that time, waiting till the enemies are made his footstool. And I like this. The enemy is stripped of all his power. All he's good for now is a footstool. Amen. He's under our feet, right? That's all he's worth is a footstool. That's it. He should be under our foot continually. He shouldn't be by our side. He shouldn't be next to us and talking to us. He should be under our feet as a footstool. That's all that's left. He's been stripped of all his power. Amen. And that's all he's worth is a footstool. Remember that. Unveiled. Let's go to Matthew now. We're going to leave Hebrews and we're going to move around a little bit. Matthew. We know in Matthew, or actually, I take that back. Stay in Hebrews. I'm just going to tell you that we know in Matthew 27, the veil was torn. But we'll look at Hebrews 10:19, and we sang about it this morning. The veil is gone. But Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, no more veil, no more separation, just direct access into the Holy of Holies. There's nothing the enemy can do to rebuild that veil. It's been torn. We can bring a separation. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God, nor principalities or powers or rulers. Nothing can. But we can definitely bring separation between us and God by our actions, by what we're doing. We can separate ourselves. Make no mistake about that. But there's no way the enemy can build that veil again. Amen. There's no way he can go back and change anything. He can go back and replay it in his head. And this is what I should have done, like a game. Man, I wish I made that layup. Man, I wish I called that time. You can go back and replay it in your head, but it's over. The veil's been torn, and there's nothing he can do to put it back up. And now we have direct access through the Holy Spirit into the Holy of Holies to spend time with the Lord. And we should be spending time with him each and every day. Amen? Now go to Matthew. Another word for exposed is unmasked. And I want you to get a picture of this as I was reading this. Matthew 4, 9 through 10. And this is where Jesus is being tempted by the devil. But let's just look at 9 and 10 here. It says, and he said to him, all these things I give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you will serve. So if you look at the scripture verse, Jesus refers, and the scripture refers to Satan as the devil in these scripture verses. But then Jesus says, you've been exposed, Satan. He calls him by name. And that's when he leaves. And so the devil's been unmasked. Unmask the devil in your life. What are the things in your life that the devil is trying to trick you with? That, oh, the entitlement, oh, I deserve it. Oh, you don't know what I've been through. Oh, it's okay if I still hold on to this or do this. That's the devil masked in your life. Unmask him. Expose him. Speak directly to him. Jesus called him by name, because if you look at the scripture, it said devil, devil, and then he said Satan, and then he was out. So he was, you know, he was using his little imps and little, you know, demons around and talking to him. And Jesus said, hey, Satan, I know it's you. You've been unmasked. Hit the road, Jack. Amen. Don't come back no more. I don't want to sing it to you, but you know the song. But he's been unmasked. Unmask the enemy in whatever area of your life you need him to unmask. Amen. Take him out. So I expose you. I see what you are and see what you're trying to do. He's been exposed. Amen. Let's go to Luke 10:19. The next one, he's unprotected. You know, do we ever think of the devil as unprotected? No, we think he's mean and we think he's got a hold of us and the devil made me do it. Again, take the curtain away, you wee little man. You have nothing against me. You're completely unprotected. You're out in the open. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he's totally unprotected. He's been exposed. He has no power again over us. Jesus said this, I give you authority. We have the authority of Jesus Christ to trample on devils and to walk upon anything the enemy tries to go against us. The metaphor for the power of the enemy as a serpent in our lives, that we can trample upon them, again, under our feet. Don't be playing with the snakes. Throw them down and step on them. Again, when the devil is in our lives and doing things and tempting us, we're playing with fire. Yeah. You know, we want to try to get one foot in the world and one foot out and kind of go back and forth. Jesus said in Revelation, don't be lukewarm. He called the church lukewarm. I don't know who you are. I'll spit you out of my mouth. Don't play that game. Don't be messing with the world and snakes and foxes and attacks. Don't mess with them. Put them aside. They've been unprotected. A couple more as we start to wrap it up. Revealed. When someone's exposed, they've been revealed. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The devil's been revealed as he's been exposed. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So the cross is not foolishness to us. It's revealed power. It's a constant reminder that the enemy has no power over us. And these next two, we're going to give an opportunity for people that want to receive Christ, because maybe up until this point, the cross is foolishness. The word of God is just a book. It's just a bunch of stories. Going to church on Easter or going to church on Sunday morning just to kind of pay your respects, and that's what mom told you to do. That's foolishness. We come into the house of God to be refreshed and to be taught and to receive and to have time at the altar and worship God and bring our issues to the altar of God and lay them at his feet and hear words of prophecy being spoke to us. And so, yes, it is foolishness, but to us, the cross is revealed and the enemy knows it's been revealed. The cross is not foolishness to the enemy. The cross is serious stuff to the enemy. Again, it reminds him of what he lost when he put Christ on that cross. So two more, and as we go for these last two, I want to just take the opportunity for you, if you're in this place this morning as the worship team's coming and we're going to give an opportunity, if you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, see, like I said all along this message this morning is, there's an open door to hell and anybody can go that wants to go. And if you're not living for Christ, if you've not accepted him, maybe you accepted him a long time ago as a child, or you know, you're a good person, you feel, and the Bible says salvation is not earned by works. Being a good person is what a Christian should do, but that does not get you into heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to my Father but through me. Hallelujah. And so here's an opportunity for maybe if you're on that path to hell, that you can change that path. And the cross is not foolishness to you anymore, but it brings life and hope. And maybe you've been dealing and trying everything else, pills, drugs, relationships, status, whatever it might be, and you're always still falling short. There's always still a void. The Bible says that every man is created with a hole, with a yearning for eternity. It's a hole inside of him. He desires to fill that void with his son and with his love. So the last two things, expose means it's for show, out in the open. Let's look at Ephesians. Salvation is wide open, out in the open. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are in the light, in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. So this is the decision. You can be you. If you don't have Christ, you're in darkness. Doesn't matter how much you know of the Bible. Doesn't matter how many times you come to church, how benevolent you are. If you've not accepted Christ, you're not living a life that's Christ-like. You're in darkness. Amen. For the fruit of the Spirit is in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Verse 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you that light. So we have to allow the light of Christ to come into us. We're talking about light that dispels darkness, that destroys darkness. We say it all the time, if we shut every light in this room, it would be dark. If we put one cell phone on, you could see where you were going. Darkness can't overtake the light. It can't. If we just left the exit lights on, you'd still be able to see a little bit. So how powerful is light over darkness? Darkness has been exposed already, like you've been saying. It has no power. Don't give it any more power. We're children of the light. And the last one exposed means is uncovered. 2 Corinthians 4. The Bible, or the Gospels only cover to those who have not accepted Christ. So today could be the day you uncover the truth of what the word really means and what a relationship with Christ means. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the gospel has been enlightened to us by Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the gospel has been enlightened through the power of Jesus Christ. So today can be that day you uncover the greatest truth in your life. You've been bought with, you've been paid for with the blood of Christ, that blood that was shed. You can uncover the truth today and expose the enemy for really what he is, a loser that's been stripped of all his power. Amen. He's a loser. And he wants us to think that we're a loser. He wants us to buy into the fact that we have, you don't know my past, you know what I've done. How could Christ love me? He died on the cross for you. If you weren't here last week about this, the message of forgiveness, when someone does something wrong to you, they have just as much of a chance for forgiveness as you do. Christ died for them, even though they may have done something wrong to you, just as much as he died for you, and you're living according to the word of God. He loves each and every person. It doesn't matter where they've been and what they've done. And that needs to be our heart for this dying world, church. So today is an opportunity to realize that the enemy's been exposed and has no power. Keep him exposed and in the open where he has no protection. Keep him in the open. Keep him out there. Keep him worried about where the next attack from the Lord is going to come from, where the next believer that gets saved comes from. Keep him out and exposed. Don't allow him to lurk around in the areas of your life and overwhelm your mind. Keep the cross and what Christ did for you at the forefront of your mind. So I just want to, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to just give a call to the YouTube audience that's watching and whoever watches us down the road, and then we're going to do one here, whoever's in chapel this morning. We want to take the opportunity to say, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the word of God is foolishness. Serving the Lord is foolish. To those that don't understand what serving the Lord really means, it's about eternal life. It's about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's knowing that the enemy's been exposed once and for all. He has no more power. Stop giving him that power. If you're in the television audience and you want to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to pray this prayer with you this morning as the body of Christ repeats with me. Dear Heavenly Father, come into my life. Wash me white as snow. Forgive me of my sins. Lead me down the path of righteousness so that I can serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. I am a sinner, and I need you in my life. Jesus, come live inside of me and make me a follower of you all the days of my life. Amen. If you've said that prayer, reach out to us somehow, email, mail, whatever you want to do. We'll start you on your walk with the Lord. If you're in the area, come and visit us. We'll get a Bible to you. We'll start you on that relationship with the Lord. Well, we love you this morning. We're so glad you're here on Resurrection Sunday. We hope to see you all on Wednesday, and we speak blessings upon you wherever you go today. Amen. In Jesus' name, we'll see you.